You are wrong about guitars podcast.
You're just wrong.
You're wrong, man.
You're wrong.
You're
about
just wrong about guitars, dude.
You're wrong about guitars.
You know nothing.
Wrong. Welcome to You're Wrong About Guitars podcast. I'm Eric Olven. I'm back. It's been a while. Sorry about that. Been a lot going on. I've had a lot of cool stuff going on in the Sunland guitar realm. Some cool builds going on. So check out my social media for some of those cool builds that happened recently. A couple really cool Sun Dogs went out the road, went out the door, and a couple more on the way. It's really cool getting some builds started up here. And then I wasn't really happy with the quality of the podcast as far as the sound and the video goes. So I was waiting to have a little money coming in, upgrade some equipment. And then with the upgrades, there's some troubleshooting and, figuring all that out. But I'm here, I'm back. And so hopefully we will keep this a regular thing. Dyer's out there around Central Florida, being a rock star still. So if you guys want to check him out and see him play some shows, definitely do it. I think he's got some, from what I've heard, some really, really big news coming up as far as what his album's doing. Maybe even nominated to an award. But follow him on social media too, so you can get that news. Super cool, super awesome, very, very happy and very proud of him. He's working really hard and he's put in a lot of good work on that album, and it's awesome to see him getting recognition for that. So all right, let's get into it. This week we're gonna do Jackson and one of my all-time favorite guitarists, Randy Rhodes. So let's dig in. Okay, so Jackson is obviously they're owned by Fender right now, but they're originally an independent manufacturer. Named after the American luthier Grover Jackson, who we kind of mentioned in the Super Strat episode. He's definitely big into that, and why we're continuing down the Super Strat road while we're here. But let's get into some of the earlier years here. So just as a little recap, Grover Jackson obtained part ownership in Charvel's guitar repair of Glendora, California in the 1970s. Wayne Charvel eventually filed bankruptcy and sold his interest to Grover Jackson on November 10th, 1978, which gave Jackson control of the Charvel name. Jackson guitars originated in 1980 when guitarist Randy Rhodes approached the company with an idea for an individualized guitar. The collaborative design effort between Rhodes, Grover Jackson, Tim Wilson, and Jackson's master builder Mike Shannon resulted in the creation of the Concord, an innovative revamp of the traditional Flying V. These designs were such a departure from Charvel's Strat-based models that Jackson elected to label them under a different brand name. So he chose his own last name and created the first Jackson guitar. Throughout the heavy metal heyday of the 1980s, the Jackson brand was associated with high-quality American-made custom instruments and was used by many popular guitarists of the period. In addition to the original, as they came to be known, Rhodes models, the 1980s spawned distinctively designed Jackson models such as the Soloist, King V, Kelly, and the Dinky, all of which remain icons of the brand. And then as we get into like the 1990s, obviously a lot of different musical trends with grunge coming in, and we, also mentioned in the Super Strat kind of, or in that episode, how that was really based in the 90s or in the 80s. American-made products and brands like Jackson began producing inexpensive Asian-made versions of their staple designs in an effort to make their products more accessible to lower-end buyers. In the fall of 2002, Fender purchased Jackson from IMC, the company which had bought Jackson from Grover Jackson, and U.S. operations were moved to the Fender factory in Corona. Present day, Fender era Jackson and Charvel guitars are produced at Corona and Fender's Ensenada facility. Low price budget models are produced by subcontractors based in Indonesia and China. After several years of running a successful company, doing subcontracting work for many well-known guitar companies and extensive design consultancy, Grover Jackson is now co-owner of a new guitar brand, GJ2 Guitars, in Orange County, California. His partner in this venture is the former Fender Senior VP, John Gold. I did not know that. That's all brand new to me. But some of the design hallmarks for Jackson, you got it. It's that hard rock, metal, slender, elegant design. Traditionally, Jackson and many Charvel guitars share the typical pointed headstock that first appeared on Randy Rhoads' prototype in 1980. This likely rose from the trade dress infringement issues as a result of Charvel's use of Fender Stratocaster-shaped headstocks until the early 1980s. And Fender's 2002 acquisition of both the Jackson and Charvel's brand enabled the Strat-style headstock to be reintroduced. Another Jackson trademark is the shark fin inlays, which I love. Those are some of my favorite inlays, and I'll get into that in a little bit, how I've used those, which inspired other famous guitar companies such as Ibanez to follow suit with similar designs. The Jackson 2021 guitar models, bass, the Demolition Fury, Dinky, Dominion, Juggernaut, Kelly, Kelly Bird, King V, MF1, Monarch, PC1, Rhodes, San Dimas, Shadowcaster, Soloist, Spectra Bass, Star, and Warrior. And I owned a Warrior at one time, which I'll also get into a little later. But that's essentially the brief history. We're going to get into a little more detail in that startup with the Randy Rhoads. So let's dig into Randy Rhoads, huh? And then we'll kind of put it all together. Randall William Rhoads, born December 6, 1956, and died March 19, 1982, an American guitarist, the co-founder and original guitarist of the heavy metal band Quiet Riot, and the guitarist and co-songwriter for Ozzy Osbourne's first two solo albums, Blizzard of Oz in 1980 and Diary of a Madman in 1981. Did I say Diarrhea of a Madman? I don't think so. Diary of a Madman. I didn't realize how close that was. Rhoads was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2021. I don't know what took so long. Originally educated in classical guitar, Rhoads combined these early influences with heavy metal, helping from a subgenre later known as neoclassical metal. With Quiet Riot, he adopted a black and white polka dot theme, which became an emblem for the group. He reached his peak as the guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne's solo career, performing on tracks including Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley, the Blizzard of Oz album. Crazy Train features one of the most well-known heavy metal guitar riffs and solos. Unfortunately, he died in a plane crash while on tour with Osbourne in Florida in 1982. Despite his short career, Rhoads is regarded as a pivotal figure in metal music, credited with pioneering a fast and technical style of guitar soloing that largely defined the metal scene of the 1980s. He helped popularize various guitar techniques now common in heavy metal music, including two-handed tapping, trembar dive bombs, and intricate scale patterns, drawing comparisons to his contemporary Eddie Van Halen. The Jackson Rhoads model guitar was originally commissioned by him, as we talked about earlier. He has been included in several published greatest guitarist lists and has been cited by other prominent guitarists as major influences. So, he's originally from California. He did receive a bachelor's degree in music from UCLA and had played piano professionally. And he opened a music school in North Hollywood called Musonia to support the family. And then skipping a little ahead, Rhoads played his last show on Thursday, March 18th, 1982 at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. The next day, the band was heading to a festival in Orlando, Florida called Rock Super Bowl 14. Ozzy Osbourne recalls his final conversation with Rhoads that night on the bus involved the guitarist admonishing him over his heavy drinking. The last thing Rhoads said to him that night was, "You'll kill yourself, you know, one of these days." Oof. That's hard. That's harsh. The plane crash. After driving much of the night, they stopped at Flying Baron Estates in Leesburg, Florida to fix a malfunctioning air conditioning unit on the bus while Osbourne remained asleep. On the property owned by the Calhoun Brothers Tour Bus Company, there was an airstrip with helicopters and small planes. Without permission, tour bus driver and private pilot Andrew Acock took a single-engine Beechcraft F-35 plane registered to a Mike Parton. On the first flight, Acock took keyboardist Don Airey and tour manager Jake Duncan with him as passengers. During this first flight, Duncan later revealed that Acock buzzed the bus in an attempt to wake drummer Tommy Aldridge. The group then landed, and a second flight soon took to the air with Rhodes and makeup artist Rachel Youngblood aboard. Though afraid of flying, Rhodes wanted to take some aerial photos of the countryside for his mother. He had tried unsuccessfully to coax bassist Rudy Sarzo to join him on the flight. Sarzo chose to get some extra sleep instead. During that second flight, more attempts were made to buzz the tour bus. Acock succeeded in making two close passes, but botched the third attempt. At about 10 a.m., after being in the air for approximately 5 minutes, one of the plane's wings clipped the top of the tour bus, breaking the wing into two parts and sending the plane spiraling out of control. The initial impact with the bus caused Rhodes and Youngblood's heads to crash through the plane's windshield. The plane then severed the top of a pine tree and crashed into the garage of a nearby mansion, bursting into flames. Rhodes, 25, was killed instantly, as were Acock, 36, and Youngblood, 58. All three bodies were burned beyond recognition, and Rhodes was identified by dental records and personal jewelry. According to Sharon Osborne, who was asleep in the bus and awoken by the crash, they were all in bits. It was just body parts everywhere. Wow. That is brutal. Holy crap. I never really dug into it that far, but that's crazy. Just an insane way to die. So on a lighter note, a little bit about his personal life. Rhodes stood 5'7" tall, weighed about 105 pounds. He was an avid collector of toy trains, and he traveled around England in search of them when he first arrived from the United States to record Blizzard of Oz in 1980. He told Osborne bandmate and close friend Rudy Sarzo that he and Sharon Arden were having a few celebratory drinks together in a hotel one night and ended up sleeping together. At the time, Ozzy Osbourne was trying to save his marriage to first wife Thelma, and Sharon was just his manager. Osbourne has said that Rhodes did not use drugs and drank very little, preferring Anisette when he did drink. Osbourne says that while Rhodes did not like to party, he made up for it by smoking cigarettes heavily, saying he could have won a gold medal in the Lung Cancer Olympics. All right, and let's get into the equipment, the real stuff. Why we're here is guitars. So shortly before leaving Quiet Riot in 1979, Rhodes presented hand-drawn pictures of a polka dot flying V-style guitar to Carl Sandoval, a California luthier. The guitar Sandoval built for Rhodes became one of the guitarist's trademark instruments. Rhodes guitars included a 1974 Gibson Les Paul Custom in Alpine White, a 1957 Gibson Les Paul Black Beauty, used for photographs only, Carl Sandoval Polka Dot V, Jackson Rhodes White Prototype Concord, Jackson Black Rhodes with a fixed bridge, and a Fender Strat. His preferred strings were 9-gauge on Blizzard of Oz and 10s on Diary of a Madman, and I guess he liked to use GHS boomers, so for Blizzard, 942s and 1046s on Diary. His favorite pickups included stock pickups in the 74 Gibson Les Paul Custom, DiMarzio Super Distortion / PAF humbuckers on Carl Sandoval's Flying V, and Seymour Duncan Distortion Jazz Model on Jackson's. Some of his favorite effects were the MXR Distortion Plus, but that was the only gadget he used a lot of, I guess. That was a quote from him. But some other effects pedals he used was the Dunlop Crybaby Wah-Wah, Roland RE-201 Space Echo, a Roland Volume Foot Pedal, a Korg Echo, MXR Distortion Plus, MXR 10-band EQ, an MXR Flanger, MXR Stereo Chorus, and then some of his favorite amps were a 100-watt Marshall Model 1959 with KT-88 power tubes and the Marshall 4x12. Cabinets with Altec 417C speakers. On the night of November 28, 2019, some of Rhodes' equipment was stolen from the premises of Musonia. Some of that was including a 1963 Harmony Rocket, which was Rhodes' first electric guitar, a PV amp head, which was part of Quiet Riot's original stage gear, a very rare Randy Rhodes Series Marshall head, prototype number one or two donated to the Rhodes family by the Marshall Company, and a Great Depression era silver French Bessin trumpet, originally owned by his mother, as well as numerous gifts from fans, memorabilia, all photos of Rhodes and other miscellaneous instruments. The items were then recovered just a few days later from a dumpster. Wow, what was that about? All right, so now I'd like to get over to my favorite Jackson model, which is the Jackson Pro Series Rhodes, the RR3, you know, the ivory white with black pinstripes. I will have that guitar someday. Gold hardware, it's awesome. Let's just go over some of the specs here. A little bit of extra specs with them. Compound radius fingerboard, maple neck, and Floyd Rose trim, which I would block. I don't really use it, but it's really cool to see it on there anyway. Classic style yields, an aggressively modern appearance. Wow, what a description. It's a 12 to 16 inch radius. Make it really, really low action with the jumbo frets, very high speed runs, great string bends. Best of both worlds there with that compound radius. It comes with Seymour Duncan SH6 distortion humbuckers, a flexible high output tone. That's an interesting way to kind of describe those. Oil finished maple neck, which I definitely love. I love doing that. I do that on all my guitars. I love maple, and I love just that oil-finished maple neck. It's nice and fast. Just feels like butter when you're playing and going up and down the fretboard. Gold hardware, mahogany, and then gloss poly finish. It's a one-piece maple neck-through design. You got the Perloid shark fins, 22 jumbo frets, 25 and a half inch scale, master volume, master tone, and a three-way switch. Nice and easy. I like that. That's how I do it. And then it comes with nines on there. Gig bags sold separately, really? Come on. That's got to have a hard shell case. You got to do it that way. Man, I just love that guitar, though. It's so pretty. You know, this guitar has definitely influenced a lot of my design attributes and a lot of what I do from Randy Rhodes too, and the music that I like to listen to. Not necessarily play. I don't know. I'm more of like the singer-songwriter kind of player, but I'm getting into it, a little more lead, and I'll probably pick up a little more of that. But we have one more thing. Reference the Guitars Illustrated book. Let's see what they have to say about Jackson guitars. So I like what they do here. They provide kind of like inspiration for like the flow and what Jackson used to design his model of guitars. So you obviously start out with that Fender Strat, and then how that flowed into the Charvel Super Strat, and then the Jackson Soloist, and then the Jackson Dinky series, and the even Jackson Adrian Smith, right? That's a great guitar. But then you have the Gibson Flying V, they use that, and that became the Jackson Concord, the Jackson Randy Rhodes, and then that's even used as some inspiration to the Jackson Warrior. And then we have the Gibson Explorer, which was, you know, influenced the Jackson King V and the Jackson Kelly. And then you also have Ibanez. They use a little bit of Ibanez there to create that Jackson Demon, which is a newer model guitar that came out in 2005 in production until 2009. More of an archtop super strat, very pointy, aggressive looking design. But I just love to look at like those influences as a designer, you know, being able to see where Jackson got a lot of his influence from. And personally, I've only owned one Jackson. It was a $350 Jackson Warrior. Not great. I really wouldn't recommend it. And a lot of the Jacksons that I work on, you got to spend over $1,000 to get a good one, unfortunately, you know, with Fender in the production. The worst part is the fretwork. The high E string just rolls off the end of the edge of the fretboard and then gets stuck under the frets. It's god awful. I hate it. I can't believe they let that happen, but I had fun with that guitar. It was the first guitar I ever had a Floyd Rose on, and growing up in the middle of nowhere in Iowa, you know, you got to figure out how to set up that Floyd Rose on your own, which ended up helping me later down the road. Having that experience and getting that job in Nashville, repairing guitars, being able to know how to do something like that is very valuable, especially nowadays. And, you know, it helped me become the pointy guitar guy. So I have some pictures of, you know, I'd spend days just working on Floyd Roses or fixing, you know, a lot of pointy guitars, the points get chipped, right? So fixing a lot of those finish issues there and filling in those chips and sanding, painting, polishing, all that stuff. And I remember one time in December, I had they had these big stands where it's like you could fit three around it and then on top and then three around it on the bottom. And I took a picture, and because it was all filled with Jackson Randy Rhodes guitars, and I said it was my personal Christmas tree at work. So I'll post that picture in the private Facebook group for you guys to see what that looked like. I don't know if I described that fully, but it was a good time. I loved working on Jackson's, I'll post this picture too. I almost had a Jackson V with the polka dots on it. I can't remember whose signature guitar that was. I'll have to look that up later. But of course, the salesman sold it before I even fixed it up. So I missed out on that one. I wish I could get that one back, but who knows where that'd be at this point. I might have sold it, but that was a really, really cool guitar. And like I said, if I ever buy another Jackson, it's going to be a Jackson Rhodes ivory with black pinstripes, and my buddy has one, and I love it when he brings that in for me to set up, because I get to play on it a little bit, and you know, really appreciate that guitar. Another fun thing that I did with Jackson when I was in college and in the design college, we had a project where we needed to use another brand and create a set of products, like a product line, and use their brand identity. So I ended up using Jackson in their design style and the shark fin inlays to create some saws, some woodworking tools, saws. So I figured saws would be great because it had that aggressive design. I created that kind of outline based off of the headstock shape, because it looks like something that would be like a knife, and it'd be sharp and be able to cut stuff. And in the handle, I put the shark fin inlays, and you know, the space in between where your fingers go looked like frets. And it was a really fun thing. And I had those foam models for a long time, because we had to design like actual life-size models of these. And I had them for a long time, but I think in one of my moves, they ended up breaking, and I was just like, well, it's time to go on. But maybe I can find some pictures of that and post for you guys, too. Overall, I really love Jackson. I love the look. I love the design, but I just don't think Fender does it justice anymore. I really wouldn't recommend buying another one unless you got, like, a custom shop or anything over $1,000. And, you know, you know how I feel about Floyd Roses, too. They're just a pain in the ass. So if you don't want to deal with that, then, you know, they make, like, fixed bridge models, too, which is the way that I would probably go if you're going to actually look for a real player guitar, something that you can keep up with on your own that's going to save you some time and some energy and keep you from ripping your hair out. But that's all I got for you today. Please check out the private Facebook group. Like, subscribe, share anywhere you can. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm glad to be back. I hope the quality's a little better here going forward. And I got it, you know, everything set up in my recording room, ready to go to make it as easy as possible to keep this weekly thing again. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate y'all. And I look forward to the next one. Later.